Welcome to Christ Today. Lord, guide and protect us as we desire to be faithful to your will. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. With all the events of the world around us, we ask Jesus to be with us, to guide and protect us. And now, with winter weather approaching, we need to have our situational awareness and caution right in our mind so that we are safe. And we know that there is normal aggression going on around us, and also a little more aggression as people feel pressured with this or with that. It's all going on, and our senses and our emotions respond to what goes on inside of us and around us. We also have our intellect to guide our thinking and help us to understand and decide what we should do and maybe what action to take with this or that, including how to vote. So yes, search for answers and search for what to think about and what to say and what to do. As we are barraged by a whole lot of people with different ideas, somehow we have to look to the Word of God to tell us what to do. Now, there is a system all around us that tells us what to do, both by law and by social expectations. And all this is, in a way, requiring us to conform to what is normal. And the powerful elite are understanding of what it will take to cause us to conform. It will cause us to obey what is normal and expected, including the laws that call us to be obedient. But we want to be obedient to God and God's word, which tells us what to do, even what to think. And so we have to make the determination of who we will follow. Will it be God or society? Or even will it be follow our own momentary desires and pleasures? After all, we have choices, and I have to think of that the ultimate question is where our allegiance is. Is our allegiance to God and our heavenly obedience, or is it to the momentary earthly desires? After all, we are living in this present life, and all these things have a bearing on what we think, say, and do, which has something to do with our eternal life also. So, yes, it's easy and natural to pursue the things that are right in front of our eyes. It's easy to pursue those things in life that we want. And from a short-term perspective, we do pursue those things, but there is also a long-term perspective when we do what we know is right, and when we do what is right according to God's will. We have experience which shows us what to do. Think, plan, and do. I think of the childhood stories that we have grown up with. They give us lessons also. If we think about the lessons, well, one of them could be store up for a rainy day, and another could be a stitch in time saves nine. And they're just stories about many things, including preparing for bad weather or for being hungry. Oh, think about the three little pigs. There's a lesson there with the three little pigs to have work and to save up, just like the little red hen. Similar. And then we have biblical examples as well that remind us that saving up is good, and having enough supplies to share with people is also good. We think of Joseph in Egypt, how he saved many a life that were the Egyptians and many a life that were the Hebrews. And so that's what his saving up did for people. Another Bible story is 1 Samuel chapter 29, where Abigail fed David and his men. But we get these examples of how to live and what to do. I think of Tabitha in Acts chapter 9. She was valued for what she made with the clothing and provided to the people, the Christian people, the saints at that time. So, of course, we are instructed in the examples of preparing. And yes, of course, it is preparing for this life, and it is preparing for eternity. And how we live right now makes a difference for how we live in life and also our eternal life. It has an impact. It makes a difference. And I'm sure it is different for everyone, but it is something that we can pay attention to, do what is pleasing to God, Jesus. And sometime it can be a big challenge to do what God wants us to do instead of what we feel like doing at the time. In that moment, we can think about ourselves, or we can think about pleasing God, Jesus. God does have his laws, and he does have his way of telling us what he likes to see. And what he likes just might conflict with man's laws. And I think about Daniel chapter 3, about that, where in Daniel chapter 3, that Daniel and the Hebrew children with him were required to bow down and worship the statue of Nebuchadnezzar when the music sounded. So Daniel and the other Hebrew children, his companions, would not bow down and worship the golden image. And you know the story. They were thrown alive into the burning fire. And then there was a man in the fire like the image of Jesus. And they survived. It was a miracle. But it was an example of not worshiping the image of a man, or not worshiping something other than God. That's what we consider as we are Christ followers going through the world. Well, we stand in obedience to God, even in the face of death. Are we willing to do that? And yes, so many are willing to do that. And yet we get concerned about the little things in life. If we're going to have enough warmth or food or people around us. So it's all a little bit of a challenge, and we get to weigh what it is that we face in life and what we face in the world around us and our eternal life with the decisions we make. And it might be that we face an immediate death if we turn from what somebody wants us to do. There are plenty of martyrs in the world right now, and there is the Voice of Martyrs organization in the world today. And they tell us that there are thousands of Christ followers who are killed every year for their faith. It's like 5,000 Christ followers are martyred. They are killed for their faith in Jesus Christ every year. So this is something we know is going on. And yes, we know that it can happen to us. And we want to stand strong in our faith for Jesus Christ, no matter the cost. And it can be an example to other people too. We all have a testimony, whether our testimony is as we live or as we die, or what we say. It's always different, but we do have a testimony that is valuable and most interesting. We hear them in church sometime. We hear them in conversation. So I hope that you have a testimony of what you have done for the sake of Jesus Christ. The glory of God. Yes and amen. It is not easy to go through trials, but we all have trials. We really do. And they are different one from the other. It's interesting to hear about those trials. And it is also interesting, today there are so many people who only want the easy life, and they are begging God to be raptured soon because they don't want to have a hard time like the Bible describes. But the hard time is a testimony that we have as we witness God, Jesus Christ. There are people who have a story to tell, a witness to give, and there are so many wonderful people who have those amazing testimonies. They are glorious. But in the world, we will have tribulation. We do have tribulation. And it can be so simple and so basic, or it can be complex as we face a situation or a law or the system, whether it's a political or a social system. And right now we have things going on in front of us that are making us question this and that. Well, we have the votes also. Who is voting for what? And the vote doesn't mean we have a voice in everything. I mean, we don't have a voice in who is on the Supreme Court or a voice about the Federal Reserve, but we have a little voice about who is going to be president, assuming all the votes are counted correctly and not manipulated. Well, we exercise the choice that we have, and that's about what we can do. We will search to have the information true and correct, but I'm not sure what we can do to really make a difference in life, to know that the vote was true and correct. When I think of the things that go on in government or the executive orders that have gone on, I know we have only limited input. I'm thinking about the Biden executive order 14067 that is advocating a CBDC digital currency. That's a central bank digital currency. It is a part of that executive order 14067. So we have things going on. We don't have a choice in everything, but we do have a few choices, and I think it's a good thing for every one of us to take the opportunity that we have to represent God here on earth. And a part of that is voting in a way that reflects our understanding of the goodness of God. Well, there are plenty of current issues around us in society, in the politics around us. I know one thing that people are looking at just in these days right now is the Department of Defense Directive. Let's see, DOD Directive 5240.1 and 2. 5240, and that was dated September 27, 2024, and there's a lot of concern about that because it allows lethal force to be used on U.S. citizens in America. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that it's going to happen, but it is interesting that it is coming about right now at election time. And surely for many years and decades, there have been laws and regulations that would limit or contain Americans or put something into our life with the government in control. And most people want freedom instead of federal government controlling them. So this directive may or may not make any difference at all. Will it be ignored or will it be followed? And we just don't know that. But we do have a recognition of the consistency in what has been put forward to push their goals a little bit more at a time on a population that does not want to resist the rule of law. Over and over, we see that the population of America has become docile and unresponsive to things that could threaten our rights and liberties. So perhaps this will become a concern at the time of national elections, or perhaps it will turn into nothing, just like so many of the directives in the past. They get forgotten about. But we also can recognize that when there is a theme that goes on, the courts can recognize the theme and rule in favor of whatever the agenda is. And the people will suffer. The people will lose their rights. So it would be good to be aware of it, and it might be good to actually do something about it. And right now, it is a question when we have things going on that are upsetting to society. Because we all have an idea, we all have desires that one thing or another happen. And among some people, there is a huge concern about why there are millions of migrants coming into the USA. Sure, they say 10, 12, 20 or 30 million, but there are also estimates of being 40 to 50 million migrants that have come into our country. And there is a mechanism to allow the 50 or so, however many million it is, migrants to vote in our national election. And the big problem is that those 50 million migrants do not understand the history of America in a historical or a cultural context. So if they vote, we really don't know what their vote will represent. And I think about the past, history. History has shown us that it is a practice of tyrants to dilute the population with people from other countries. Now, this has been going on since the days of ancient Rome, when the Caesars brought people from other cultures into an area and made them settle there and displaced the native population. And it was a method of creating a new basis of political support. That's been going on in our world for a long, long time. As I said, ancient Rome did it. It's been going on for 1,000 years. It's been going on for 100 years. Tyrants have done that in our recent history, in Europe, in Asia, Africa, everywhere. Tyrants have brought in a new group of people that is loyal to them. So, yes, we have these things going on. Will it make a difference? We don't know, but we sure know that it could. For fresh people to come into a land without a cultural or a historical background in that land. And so, that's obviously what's going on right now. Who knows about the founding fathers of America? Who knows what Americans have gone through? From Valley Forge to the right for women to vote to all the issues of today. There's so many. And a recent migrant would not have a concept of what struggle America has had to give rights to the American people. Well, do we know? No, we don't know. But we know what could be, and so we want to speak up, talk to people, and protect the rights that we have. We are so blessed to have a Constitution and a Bill of Rights. So let's try to maintain the liberty and freedom that we have. After all, there are plenty of domestic and foreign disruptors in America right now. And yeah, we don't really know what they are or who they are, but we get the idea when you look at the interviews of what is going on in America right now. We are to prepare for what could happen as to how we can preserve the prosperity and freedom in the USA. It could be easy, it could be difficult, but if we don't preserve what we have, we can be very sure that our children and grandchildren will not have the freedom and prosperity that we have enjoyed. They might not even get the regular things that we have enjoyed in our life, from food to electricity to gasoline, and to voting privileges. There are just things going on. And I think about the FBI director, Christopher Wray. He has testified before Congress and the Senate several times in the last year, and he has talked about how there are blinking lights everywhere, telling us to be cautious, to watch out for what is going on in America, that there could be potential chaos and crisis, or even an attack on America. And yes, we can look at what has gone on in the past months or years, and we can say there really is a reason to be concerned. I remember just a few months ago, there were reports about people in the southern United States buying up ammunition and there being no more ammunition on the store shelves because the people were expecting an attack on America. Now, I don't know what to say about that. I'm not there. I just read the articles and I can see that they say what is going on, but we don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. Maybe you do, but I don't. And it's a good thing to be aware of what we understand and then put it to a practical use. Not with full knowledge, because often enough we are not there, but we do have an idea of what has happened in the past and what can happen again, either in this country or another country. And so the pattern is already there, and we can be aware of the dangers that could happen about things that would really affect us in our personal life, in our political life, in our economic life. All these things are issues to pay attention to. And so, what would your vision for America be? Do you want to preserve America? Do you want to have a specific leader in America? Is the leader going to preserve what we have in America, or is the leader going to be a change agent for what the leaders says they want? Well, we have these things that are really going on right now, right in front of our eyes. And so it would probably be a good thing if we were going to speak up, stand up for one thing or another, because if we don't, we are in danger of losing the rights and privileges that we have. It's a good time to be concerned, right now, exactly now. It's the time of an election, and we have choices that we can make, and they might not be the choices we want, but it is a choice, and we do have to look after our voting system to make sure that it maintains integrity, that our votes are counted correctly, and there has been question about the accuracy of voting for 70 years, I think. Certainly 50, and certainly 20 or 30. It just, you look back and you can see there are questions. And so how can we preserve our democratic vote in the republic that we live in? It's going to make a difference for us to speak up and support what we support. And better yet, for us to put our dollars towards things that we want to continue. And it can be towards the Christian things. It can be towards the republic and the political system that we have. Our dollars make a difference, and I hope we spend them with wisdom to support what we value. And that's the problem with what's going on right now with inflation. Inflation is turning us all into people who can afford very little. We cannot afford gas and groceries like we used to. Sometimes we cannot afford the extra things. And sometimes we cannot afford to support the charity people and the church people that we want to. And somehow, we might have to make a few sacrifices. This is going on right now in America. And so somehow, we want to make a difference with our time, with our money, with what we support. And that's something that we have to be active in right now. And we are thankful for the Christian missionaries that are coming to the United States of America, as we are just losing a little bit of our fervor for Christ and Christianity. We are getting involved more and more in foreign countries, and some of those foreign countries are sending their people to America. And I think it's just astounding that America has 700 bases in over 80 countries. It's close, but it's not exactly that, but that's as close to what America is doing as they are involved in the world, and the world becomes involved in America. I remember that there have been people who have told about what would happen to America, and we are in a position where things are changing. And we might not know exactly what, we might not know exactly how, but we have worldly people, economic people, political people, and Christian people who have had a word of prophecy, and they tell about what they have experienced in their little area, whatever it is. I think of that Kentucky pastor, Dana Coverstone, who has told about his prophetic dreams and has been popular for a while. He talked about how the roofs, in his vision, the roofs had had their, the banks have had their roofs blown off, and there was money blowing through the streets as abundantly as though the money was leaves. Just blowing through the streets. And nobody picked it up because the money had lost so much value. That has gone on in so many parts of the world. And we think about Weimar Germany, how that happened there, where people would burn money for warmth in their stoves because money had lost its value. And that's happened in so many countries. It happened in Austria in the 1940s. It's happened in, Venezuela is a very noted example. And so is Argentina, so is Brazil, so is Russia. And Zimbabwe is a famous example of how they kept printing money. And so the million-dollar notes from Zimbabwe are just worth a couple of cents. Same for the trillion-dollar banknotes in Zimbabwe. I think those were worth $36. But it's that. So what? You add a number to your piece of paper, and it has no value. It's what is going on right now with the inflation that we are having in the world and in our country. Currency has a life cycle where it lives and has value, and then it dies. That has gone on in many, many countries. Sure, from Russia to Mexico to the South American countries. It's just a normal cycle, and we can expect it to happen here. But we don't know quite when. When will the dollar fall apart? When will the dollar collapse? I remember that prophetic guy, New York pastor David Wilkerson, talking prophetically about a worldwide economic collapse. And he talked about it starting in Germany, moving to Japan, and then coming to the USA. So, it's not that I can say the prophetic people are correct, but I sure listen to them anyway, and I can see the patterns, but we don't know if the patterns are for right now or if the patterns are going to repeat in the future. But it does give us a reason to recognize the pattern and be cautious about what is lining up. The patterns often have a theme and then an outcome. And we see what is shaping up right now. And so we can say that right now is a good time to get prepared. Now, I like to say that it's better to be prepared for trouble a year too early than a day too late. So yeah, get some preparedness. And of course, you know there's many people who tell us just what to do. Because everybody has their own idea about what they see is coming and what they should do about it. But I think we're far better off if we each look and try to understand what we see as soon to come and then what we can do about the trouble that we see coming. Now, we have seen decades of politicians. I mean, I think back 50 years ago about hearing politicians say, oh my, we have never seen this happen before. We need a new law. In fact, we need an omnibus crime bill. That was in the 70s. It's happened in the 80s and the 1990s. And it shows that there is big events going on. And yes, a part of it is lawlessness. And speaking about the 1970s, I think about the hundreds of hijackings that went on in the 1970s. More or less, there were so many where the people got on the airplane with a gun and told the pilot to fly to Cuba or some other country, but it was very often Cuba. Hijackings were many of them back there, and many of them were done by the PLA group called Black September. They were very active in it. There were very, very many lawless groups for all of the 50 years. And we can look at the big events like with Randy Weaver and Timothy McVeigh and the Branch Davidians. And we can see there was lawlessness all over the place. You could say it was with the people. You could say it was with the FBI and CIA. I think all the answers are correct. It's just that we have things going on, and we all get to try to understand what we should do about it before there is another big event like the 9/11 attack in New York City on the Twin Trade Towers. See, we are living in a time when all sorts of things can happen, and really we are not sure what could happen next, but there are events that are waiting to happen. And God tells about them in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. They all talk about end time events at the end of the age. What will happen? Now, there's some things we can't do anything about. Not really. We know there's going to be earthquakes coming because the Bible tells us that. There's going to be wars and rumors of war. Bible tells us that too. So what can we do about the pandemics that are coming or the famine that is coming according to those books? God tells us they're coming, and maybe we can't do very much, but we can certainly do something about famine. Do you have a storehouse of food for yourself and for others that we can live a little longer as we proclaim the good news of the gospel? Mark 16:15 tells us that that is what we are to do. So how are you doing at it? I think it would be good for every one of us to look at what we can do to be faithful to God and to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Obviously, God would like that done, and we want to be faithful and obedient to God. So, if you can't do it when you speak to people, you can probably support other people. Put $20 in an envelope. Put $500 in an envelope. There is something you can do to support the good news of the gospel. And for who? That is completely up to you, but it's a good idea to do something. If nobody does anything, we know what'll happen. Nothing. Things will go on the same. And so that is not what we want, not what I want. I want to contribute something to the good news of the gospel. And so that is what I hope that all of us want to do. Proclaim the good news of the gospel. That's our future. Our future, which relates to, yes, godly wisdom, and also our faithfulness, and also our eternal life in heaven. I think of the passages sometime about, there's one about the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And we know that wonderful things happen, and we know that trouble and accidents happen. That's just the way that it goes in the world. And God tells us how to deal with it. He tells us stories in the Bible, true stories about what has happened to people. There has been good things, there have been trouble things, and it all happens. But we want to look at the world and our life with God's wisdom. Sometimes I think about King Hezekiah. That was in 2 Kings, chapter 20. And he was dying, and he asked God for more time. And God gave him 20 more years of life. And during those 20 years, he had a son born to him, Manasseh. And that son turned out to be one of the very wicked kings of Judah in ancient Israel. So, knowing that sometime there can be a wonderful result to what we ask for, and sometime there can be a tragic result of what we ask for. I have asked for fewer things than I ever used to, because I know that sometime there are good and wonderful things that happen, and sometime there are things that you would not want to be a part of. So I have become more relaxed about what God gives me and not asking for this or that. That Manasseh was a story there in Kings, where he was taken away as a captive to Babylon, and he was taken away in chains. Boy, how his life changed. Well, we can look at the examples in the Bible of the different people and what their life stood for. It's kind of astounding, and we have a life too for us to see what we have stood for. So let's stand for God, Jesus Christ, and let's do his will. I know one of the things I think of sometime is what causes the trouble we have. And I think about the innocent blood that was spilled in Jerusalem. And there, that's in the Bible too. And so that it brings consequences to people when innocent blood is spilled on the ground. And yes, it could refer to the martyrs, and it could refer to the aborted babies. Either in ancient times or today, we still have babies that have been sacrificed through an abortion procedure. Well, we get to see that could be the innocent blood that is addressed. And if that is the case for America and the rest of the world, there have been so many innocent babies sacrificed, aborted, one way or another, that we just, well, it sure makes me concerned for both America and the world, because there has been a lot of blood spilled. I think of in Revelation chapter 8. No, it's chapter 6, verse 8, where one quarter of Earth's population dies. There's another passage in Revelation chapter 9:18, where a large portion, like one-third of Earth's population, dies. And we can just kind of try to understand why this had happened. I mean, I'm really not sure, but there's various reasons that are talked about. I think ultimately it has something to do with the sin of the body of Christ. And so there are consequences when the body of Christ or the population of the world sins in God's eyes. What is sin? Well, he tells us, and I certainly think of Revelation 21:8, where there are places where God tells about the sin and the consequences for sin. it's a kind of a study, but the big thing we can learn is we don't want to sin, and we don't want to go into the lake of fire. We want to go to heaven. So let's live according to God's will. I think of 1 Peter 1:16 that says, I am holy, so you be holy. Oh, it says, be holy, for I am holy. And that is a part of what we get to examine. How can our life reflect God's holiness? And if we are doing something that is not fitting into God's will, oh, like Hophnias and Phinehas in Samuel, in they were the sons of the prophet Samuel, and those two boys were notable sinners, and God took their life. 1 Samuel in 2, chapter 2. So that's something that is an example for us to see what can happen if we are living a life of sin. And there is Matthew, Mark, and Luke that talk about the end of days, that there will be pandemics and earthquakes and war and famine. And it sure looks like the reason for that is because of the sinfulness of mankind. So let's try to live according to God's will. There are things that are going to be coming, and we get to try to look at them and make some preparation so that we can live through the trouble that is coming. I think of Daniel 7:7, where there is the fourth beast. Daniel describes this beast as having iron teeth and bronze claws. And I think, could that be an AI robot? Could the fourth beast be a robot? And I think, oh yeah, it could be. Now, we could not have imagined this 100 years ago, but now look at what's going on with Boston Dynamics Company, where they are showing their robotic creatures. And Tesla is showing its robotic creature called Optimus. So we see that the things that have never existed before are becoming normal in our reality. Never created before, but technology is allowing these creations. And just like the mechanical people, there are voices that have been recreated. The technology can mimic your voice perfectly, so nobody can tell the difference. And that's a part of what we deal with today, as people are being scammed. They are, let's see, a mother, a grandmother, grandparents, or brothers or sisters are having somebody they know call them and say, I'm in trouble. We need money so I can be released from the kidnappers. Or they need money for a car repair. Or they need money to get home. Somehow they're saying, can you send us $500 or $2,500? And sometimes it's the kidnappers saying they need this. Sometimes it could be the person. But the kidnappers now have the ability to speak on telephone using AI and sounding like the person that they have kidnapped. That's going on in the world right now. And many people are suffering from that. Men and women, children and teens are all subject to being robbed and stopped and kidnapped. And this is going on now in countries south of us and in the United States. It is also going on. It's something where we have to use extra concern for our safety and security. I wonder if someday we will be like the ancient days where we went places in groups. Maybe 50 people would go to the store so they could defend themselves. Maybe they would not want their gas and their goods to get stolen. So they would do that. And I think of South Africa today. The Republic of South Africa has really become a lawless place where they have hundreds of people who are murdered every month and thousands who are raped. It's just a huge thing. I'm thinking about a Christian missionary there and how that Christian missionary would go shopping with his wife. He was always armed, and so he'd park right in front of the store. His wife would go in to buy things, and he would stand at the car with his gun in hand to protect his car and his future life and wife and all that. There, people there have had, that same missionary talked about at his home that there was a group of secure buildings with armed guards at the gates, and how one day a few months ago, the guards were killed and their weapons were taken. They sleep with dogs in their front room and dogs in their bedroom. And it's a matter of lawlessness happens. And we want to keep our wonderful country wonderful and safe and secure. So we can look at what is going on in the world and we want to protect it from happening here. And a part of our American heritage is to have freedom and is to have Christianity throughout the country. Now, there's people who don't agree with that, and they will present a history. But from what I have read, they use history books that have been changed. And so if you look at the original history, it's easy to tell our founding fathers wanted to have a Christian society and even said only a Christian society would work in the United States. So somehow we have to look back to our roots and reestablish that Christian society. Otherwise, the world will go, in a sinful direction with violence and chaos, just like I just described those missionaries in South Africa and the world that they live in. South Africa used to be a wonderful, wonderful place, and it has turned into decay, just like Zimbabwe and many other areas in Africa, where people are slaughtered. Even coming out of a church, there would be people who would be killed. They would light fire to the church and then be shot as they came out. We have a world of great corruption, and we want to keep our country free and protected. Of course, there's so many people who think that the protection means we need the authorities to have more power. But we have to be cautious about that. That is what tyrants also say when they want to rule over the people. It's something that we are going to have to search out and know that the life that we live is going to be good and godly according to God's laws. I don't think there's any other way. We have to live a godly life, or our children and our grandchildren will pay a price for the sin we allow into our country and the foolish spending that the country has done to borrow trillions of dollars that we have to pay interest on. It is just a lot of great concern about what will happen in our country. I wonder if we in America today will have to have a similar oath, maybe the same oath, that our founding fathers pledged to each other. They pledged their life, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, one to another, to preserve the concept of America. Will we have to do that? I know that among the original 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, There were a number of them who lost their lives and their fortunes because they wanted the American dream. So we have to be paying attention to what our future holds and what we will stand up as a Christian. First as a Christian, and also as a citizen of the United States of America with our tradition and our heritage. I think of what could happen otherwise. I think of Ezekiel 14:13 about a country, a land that lives with persistent unfaithfulness. And there are consequences for us if we live an ungodly life. So let us be faithful to God, Jesus. Let us obey Jesus and live according to his world, his word, and preach the gospel to every creature, as Matthew 16:15 says. Now you can listen to any broadcast of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. www.christtoday.org. Look at the one with John Stephenson, because that is how you find it. Well, God bless you. Thank you for today.